All right, we are live on a beautiful February 16th, 2024. And I don't know if people have been notified yet. Okay, yes. Let me see. Let me get my, oh my gosh, you guys, I'm so unorganized. Okay. Here we go. Week recap with Conservative Mama. It's happening. We're live. We're doing this. It's Friday. It's time for the weekend. It's Friday. I'm ready. It's been a week for me. And I just spent, okay, just a quick, did you know this? Before I go live, I am always like messing with my bangs. Because I have a larger forehead. I'm fully aware of it. God gave me a larger forehead. But it looks way bigger on camera. Like, way bigger. So I have bangs. And then, like, they get in my face. And then I'm constantly moving them. And then I'm brushing them. If you're a bang person, you know this. And it's just, it never feels like it looks right. I don't know. So Here we are. Anyways, it's Friday. And this has been kind of a week for me as a mom. Because my kiddos, my daughter came home on Friday. She didn't go to school on Friday because she didn't feel good. And it was like a cold or something like that. And kind of dealt with that over the weekend. And then on Monday, like stomach bug hit. And then, you know, stomach bugs with kids. It's like, oh my gosh. I've got this strategy though. When it hits, like I put towels all over the carpet. So if you can't make it to the toilet in time, you've got towels covering the carpet. So it's not as big as a mess. Anyways, I had this going on. And then another one got hit and another one was complaining about stomach. So it was just like, so it threw off the week. It just threw off my week. And I haven't got it back. I've been chasing after everything I was supposed to get done this week because of that. It just, and then, you know, they miss school. So then there's extra homework. So then you're up late at night doing homework. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Oh, Norm on YouTube. Thank you so much. What a blessing. Norm just threw me some cold hard cash. And we're going to talk about that because we've got to cover Fannie Willis, you guys. Let's just start it off with, well, we'll start off with Fannie Willis since it's the hot topic and they're coming back on. So in case you haven't been watching this, you guys got to watch this trial. It's a hearing about the misconduct of Fannie Willis. She's the prosecutor. She's the head DA that's bringing the charges, the racketeering charges against Trump. She's going to take him down. And the reason why this was such a significant case is because these other like indictments that Trump has against him are federal, but the Georgia one is a state one. So even if Trump were to become president, he couldn't pardon himself. He'd still have to serve time because of the whole Georgia case that Fannie Willis is bringing against Trump. And she's fired up. I mean, she was elected because she said she's going to take down Trump. People are like, yeah, take him down. We don't know why. We just hate him so much. We got to take him down. So that was like her lead thing. She's going to take down Trump. And it's kind of turned. The tables have turned on Fannie. Where do we begin? I'm just going to start like this. I'm going to play this. This is the recent, it's a very short, but this was me yesterday watching the hearing.
I did not deposit the cash in my account.
You don't have a single solitary deposit slip to corroborate or support any of your allegations that you were paid by Mrs. Willis in cash, do you?
No, sir.
Not a single solitary one.
Not a one.
Now.
Okay, so here's the story. So Fannie Willis is saying that she did not know Nathan Wade that well. Nathan Wade is another guy that has been brought on to help take down Trump. Like he's like, I'm in this, let's do it. So he says he's going to help bring down Trump. So she hires him, right? And they're telling everyone that they did not have any kind of love affair or any kind of relations when she hired him. Like, that's the argument. Because if she did hire him and she was having relationships with him prior to this, it's very unethical and it really negates her whole trustworthiness, right, as a prosecutor. Because I mean, you can't do that. And you're supposed to disclose relationships, right? If you're having a relationship with your coworker, you need to make it known. So they kept this secret, right? So anyways, Nathan Wade is married. He's a married man at the time of their alleged affair. So they have this alleged affair. I have to be careful with my words. And he's making a good amount of money, like as a prosecutor. And she is paying him a good sum of money, and they start to go on trips together. They go to the Bahamas, they go to Napa Valley, they go to Belize. Fanny was asked where Belize is, and she didn't know. She still doesn't know where Belize is. I don't know. Maybe I'm just different, but I've never gotten on a plane and been like, I don't know where this country is that I'm going, but I'm going. I mean, usually kind of when I have an idea, but she didn't know. She didn't know where Belize was. So anyway, she spent time with him in Belize. Where else did she go? She went, I think he went to Australia I don't know if she was with him or not on that one. Aruba, Panama. They had a good time together, guys. They really enjoyed each other. They enjoyed the lavish trips that they went on. They had a good time. And the argument now is that, yes, they had a good time. And no, there was no special benefit given to Nathan Wade. And he was not, propositioning her in any way with these lavish trips that he was taking her on, because they split it. They split it down the line. Now, there's no receipts for this. There's no receipts for the split. She's now saying, Fannie Willis is saying that she paid Nathan Wade back in cash. All of it was done in cash money. Thousands and thousands of dollars. She gave him back in cash. So let's just hear her argument really quick on the cash. This is Fannie Willis on the stand. She said this yesterday.
I am sure that the source of the money is always the work, sweat, and tears of me. What you asked me for is, when did the money go in there? What I am trying to tell you is, so I got divorced in 2005 from my husband.
No,
it's important. You said, where did the money come from? And I need to tell you where the money came from. And so for many, many years, I have kept money in my house. That money, in my worst days, has probably only been $500 or $1,000. At my best days, I probably had $15,000 in my house cash. At all times, there's going to be cash in my house or wherever I'm laying my head.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from?
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from? Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from... what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job, because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period. That's probably in there.
So I didn't understand that one. She had a lot of money, guys. And then her dad got on the stage today and he just got done and they're on a break right now. It's clear to me that he was told this was going to be asked of him, because he came with a great answer. He's like, yeah, he's saying that basically that they keep a lot of money. They keep a lot of cash. It's part of their like ethnicity that to always have a lot of money on you, a lot of cash money. And he told her to keep cash on her at all times. And that was kind of the argument. So to me, it's like, oh my gosh, this is just... This is a train wreck happening in real time. The question is, the biggest things are, were these two together before she hired him? If so, that's very unethical and she should not be the leading prosecutor to bring charges against Trump. Another one, was it preferential treatment based on their relationship? Obviously, I think so. Yes. Was the money Wade used to go to their lavish trips part of his salary? If it was part of his salary, that's very unethical as well. It destroys the trustworthiness of Willis, and it involves a lot of ethical violations. Wade said that he was paid back by Willis in cash. I just have a hard time believing that. I do. And I think a lot of people watching had a hard time believing that as well. Willis says, yeah, she kept all this cash at her house. But now she doesn't have a lot of cash, she says. She's trying to save back up with the cash that she doesn't have. So Wade netted over $654,000 in tax funds, spending 99% of his local lawyering time on the Trump case. But he also spent a ton of time, obviously, going on trips with Fannie Willis. To me, this is she can no longer be the prosecutor here. Like, it's time to remove her from this case. Now, either, and this case could be completely removed entirely, or they could say, you know what, we're going to pass it off to another prosecutor. And then that would just take time, right? That takes a lot of time, takes a lot more resources, a lot more money, and nothing would ever happen before the 2024 election. So this is kind of a big deal, and it's fun to watch. If you guys have not been watching it, it's highly entertaining. I just, especially because I feel like, just from not politics at all, but just watching this, I kind of think that they both still love each other. They both still like each other a lot, because she could tell she's really, she's emotional about it. And you could tell he's kind of like he's got a little heartstring still attached for her. Didn't want to say anything bad. I think these two still might, even though they said they broke up and they're no longer in a relationship. I don't know. I'm still sensing something. Let me know your thoughts. I think there might be still some love going on there. Some true love. Anyways. So anyway, I think she should be removed as prosecutor. That's ridiculous. But I encourage you guys to keep watching this. Another thing that happened just recently was Tony Bobulinski, who worked with the Bidens and their whole family, was in a closed door hearing yesterday, not yesterday, but this week in Congress. And the transcripts were just recently released. And I want to read to you some things that Bobulinski said, because I think that they're really important. He said, I want to be crystal clear from my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn. It is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. He testified, his family's foreign influence peddling operation from China to Ukraine and elsewhere sold out to foreign actors who were seeking to gain influence and access to Joe Biden and the United States government. He continued, Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an enabler, despite being buffered by a complex scheme to maintain plausible deniability. He went on to say, the only reason any of these international business transactions took place with tens of millions of dollars flowing directly to the Biden family was because Joe Biden was in high office. The Biden family business was Joe Biden, period. He stated emphatically. So this is still happening, even though we kind of don't hear as much about that. I think that's a big deal. I don't know if you guys remember when Tony Bobulinski, was it like a couple years ago, where he just came out and like let it all fly. He worked closely with the Biden family. He was in on a lot of their deals, and he saw firsthand how the Bidens, during Joe Biden's vice presidency, how they used his position of high office to influence foreign actors and to gain foreign influence financially with his position of authority. So it's really shady and bad. And I mean, if we had a conservative Senate or a Republican, you can't even say Republican anymore, because I don't trust the Republicans at this point either. There's so many dirty ones, especially with this, how 95 billion passed the Senate, giving 95 billion to Ukraine, excuse me, and Israel. All of this money goes over abroad, and a lot of Republicans, I think it was 17 of them, said yes. So I don't trust them. I don't know. My husband and I get in this huge argument because not argument, but debate, like, can it be fixed? Right. I don't know if you guys think this way, but it's such a mess, right? It's such a mess and it's so corrupt and it goes so deep. And you've got all these lobbyists and you've got all these special interest groups like working with our politicians that our politicians are like bought and sold to other nations, working for other countries and not putting America first, not caring about America, not caring about Americans. And so it's just, it's frustrating. So anyways, but the Bidens were all in on this is what Bo Belinsky is saying, allegedly saying. So I have to be careful with my words, just so you guys know. And then I'm going through this pretty quick. We're only 15 minutes in, but that's okay. And then another big thing that just happened that broke today was Alex Navalny, who is one of Vladimir Putin's like main opponents, political opponents, died. He died in prison. He was a political prisoner held in prison over in Russia, and he died. He was only 47 years old. And they don't know how he died. And the left is like, oh my gosh, you know, Putin's horrible. He's such a bad guy. And yeah, a bad dude. I said this on my live last week because a lot of you know, you get the MAGA people that are, you know, I wouldn't say they're pro Putin, but they're not appreciate. They don't want to fund the Ukraine war. So I feel like sometimes people feel like, well, if you don't want to fund the Ukraine war, then you have to be in support of like what Russia's doing. You can be neither, like me. I'm like, I don't think what Russia's doing is right. I don't think that Russia, because Putin in his head says, you know, Ukraine is part of Russia and I'm just going to go in and I'm going to take it back. I don't think that's the right thing to do, causing death and destruction. And I don't think, you know, Ukraine taking billions and billions, and billions with no itinerary of where the money's going. And they're especially notoriously known for corruption. I don't think they're good either. So we've got Tucker Carlson over there interviewing Putin. And I like the interview, a lot of it, but some of the stuff he's saying, I completely disagree with. I don't agree with everything Tucker Carlson says either. And so killing your political opponent, bad thing to do, not right, wrong. So that's what Putin did. Well, not Putin did. We don't know if he did it, but we do know that his main political opponent is now dead. How did that happen? I don't know. Put two and two together. I'm not going to say anything, but I think it's kind of clear. So, and so the left is outraged because they're all like, oh, you know, Putin's bad. We need to keep fighting Ukraine and we need to continue this war when it's unwinnable at this point. We're causing Ukrainians to die. We're causing Russians to die. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And I don't know why anyone would want this thing to continue. I think if you care about humans, you care about life, you say, hey, we got to come to some kind of negotiations here. That's what we need to do. We need to stop funding it, because if you continue to fund it, you're continuing more death and destruction. That's what you're doing if you continue this funding. So let's meet in Switzerland or neutral territory and let's find a solution. That's what should be done. I don't know why this is so complex for these world leaders, but it can be done. I believe it should be done. And the left is outraged right now. So they're like, you know, oh my gosh, it's so bad. And it is bad. But at the same time, the left is arresting and jailing their political opponents here in America. Like that, it's happening here. And you've got 91 indictments against your political opponent, lefties. Like that's happening here. So if you're outraged about it over there, you should be outraged about it here. Well, he's guilty. Orange man is bad. Really? Really? The guy, he's in his 70s. Never, ever had any kind of indictment against him in his entire life. But then when he runs for president for the second time or third time, he's suddenly guilty. I mean, I hope people can see this, man. And you might not like the guy. You might not like Trump. I get it. You don't like him. He says stuff you don't like. He upsets you. He's not morally upstanding like Joe Biden. He's just so bad. But we had secure borders, you know. We had less inflation. We had, we didn't have this foreign conflict that we're witnessing right now. We didn't. I mean, groceries were less expensive. I know filling my gas tank was less expensive. I know that home values were up. I know that the life in the womb was being protected, or at least being spoken out in defense. They were given a voice. I know that children that are being mutilated, and it's being justified by the left, which is just so, it's so sick to me. I know that was being given more voice of how wrong that is. And there's a clear difference between someone that loves this country and someone that is literally letting an invasion take place. There's a difference. There's a clear difference. And I hope people are starting to see it. I hope when you see a Senate pass $95 billion to send to other countries, when you have veterans, when you have homelessness, when you have your average everyday American scraping and clawing to get by, you've got to just press pause and think, maybe the people in charge right now don't care about me. Maybe, just maybe, they might not be the good guys. I really hope that some people are starting to see it. I really do. And I get that you don't like Trump. I get it. But you know what? I don't know where it's said that you have to like who you vote for. Or where, like, oh, this is somebody you want to hang out with. Like, I don't know where or why we got that in our head. We don't even vote on whether we like this person or not. We vote on the policies that they are going to implement. And you have to ask yourself, what policies has the Biden administration implemented over the past 3.5 years that have made your life better? What are they? Like, honestly, trolls, you guys are always trolling me on here. What has Biden done to make your life better? What has he done for you and your family? How has he made it more safe for you and your family here in this country? How has he made it easier for you to take your family out to dinner and at night? How? What has he done? I want to know. I really want to know what he's done. Because it's not been good. It's not been good. And before COVID hit, you guys, it was good. It was good. Yeah, it was drama, and there's so much drama. But that was primarily fueled by the media. That was the media pushing all of this junk. You start to cipher through it all, and you start to just like separate it and like, wait a minute. What is the truth? I want to know the truth. I'm going to try to find the truth. And it's not coming from the mainstream media. It's not. And the mainstream media was the primary divisive force, I'll tell you, in the past two elections. So yeah, that is pretty much my rundown. I don't have a ton else to say. I know this is short and sweet. It's your quick recap for the week. I will read a couple questions here. Let's see here, you guys. So send me a questions. Democratic voters don't care about politics. They only care about getting free stuff. Yes, free stuff. But remember, nothing is free. Okay, so every time you get something free from the government, know that your kids are going to foot that bill. Like, know that. So it's like, wait a minute, do I want my daughter to pay for this? Do I want to put that on her? No, I don't. So nothing is free. And any right, good, upstanding American does not want a grandparent or parent doesn't want to put the weight and responsibility on their children. Right. And that's what we're doing. The more free stuff we hand out. Biden's corruption smells all the way here. Yeah. Hey, Tomo in Norway. I love that you're watching. That's awesome. Yeah. Totally corrupt. It's so bad. I saw this great comedian. I want to tell you guys this. I saw this great comedian. He goes, I'm actually advocating for Hunter Biden to win in 2024. He's like, because he's an expert on oil and gas. He's very successful in doing deals with the Chinese in order to make millions and millions of dollars. He is able to get all these women, and he can do it all while high on drugs. And he goes, isn't that the description of a politician or something like that? And I thought that was so perfect. I was like, so true. Okay. Dems are a party of the abortion, which means they have no regard for babies. No, there's no regard for babies. There's no care for babies. Here in Colorado, this is just absolutely horrible. But one of the conservative representatives here, she was trying to pass a bill, trying to get a bill. And it was a bipartisan effort to get this bill through where if you trafficked a child, like you're a child trafficker, right, that you do not get parole. Like that's the bill she's trying to pass, right? And the Democrats in Colorado shut it down. The Democrats shut it down that someone that is trafficking children should receive parole. And she's saying, no, they shouldn't receive parole. They should be put in prison, right? They should be arrested and taken off the streets. And the Democrats don't believe that. Like, if you're still supporting Democrats when you think it's okay to traffic children, there is a God in heaven, and he does have an opinion. One day you're going to have a moment face to face and justify you voting for people that had no problem harming children. That's on you. Okay. Yeah. We've got a sicko on here. William, I'm going to even, can I ban you from here? Or do I have to go specifically on? Yeah. Let's just ban you. Yeah. Get help, seek help. Okay. All right. Anything else? Somebody put a link. I can't open a link on here while you're, I can look at it later. I like Trump for his policies, not for his personality. Biden and Trudeau are both globalist pawns. Yes, they are. Fact check, true. Policy, not personality. Perfect. Perfectly put, Stephanie. Still listening. Good. Thank you for still listening. That's because it's an agenda. It's an agenda. It's all an agenda. I mean, once you start to see what the long-term goal is, right? You to own nothing. And I put this on because I can't put some stuff on Facebook, guys. If you want to hear my real thoughts, what I really think, follow me on Twitter, because I don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I'm going to say what I really think and they're going to ban me. So I can't say what I really, really think on a lot of these big tech platforms, but I do feel like I can say that on X, both. It's Twitter and X. We'll just call it Twix. Okay. I can't speak freely there, but I did make a point that I said, this is just an outrageous script idea. And I wrote out kind of all that's happening. And the long-term goal is for you to own nothing, right? For you to own nothing. And eventually the debt collectors will come to collect the debt. People are like, oh no, they won't. That's crazy. We can just keep spending. No, I think that's the goal. I think that's the goal, is to get people to continue to spend. And then at some point, the people that we owe money to say, hey, it's time to pay us. And they're like, well, we can't pay you. Well, each American is going to owe this amount of money until you pay us back. Well, Americans are like, well, I don't have, you know, $500,000 sitting at my house right now. That's okay. We'll take your house. We'll own your house. And until you're able to pay us back the $500,000, you'll owe nothing. You'll be in your house, so you'll be happy. And that's how it's going to go. And when you are in debt, or when you owe money, you no longer are truly free, right? You no longer are truly non-controllable. When you owe something to someone, or you're in debt to someone, you are controlled. This is how they get control. That's my thinking. And I know, oh, Rachel, that's conspiracy theory. That's crazy. Well, I mean, go ahead. You can make fun of me, but that's what I think. So I think that's the long-term goal. What else? What else do we have here? I feel like this is a sting operation to wake up people. Treason happened a long time ago and Trump is still in control. Yes, there's a lot of people that believe that. I do not believe that Trump is secretly president right now. Some people believe that. I I do not. Our border is wide open, guys. Millions and millions of people that we don't know, that do not have good intentions are crossing our border. Okay. It's not, if he were in control, then shame on him. Okay. No, Biden is president right now and he's doing a horrible job. Look at our country. Great job. Fannie Mae might have 500K at her house. She could. You never know, guys. She carries cash, lots of cash. I have a question. Knowing what Trump knows now, what are the chances that he might be screwed again in the 24? He could be. Very much easily could be. I think that the Dems are putting a lot of, they're thinking that, yes, definitely these indictments will bring him down. I think that's the large hope. And also, I still think that there's that wild card out there of removing Biden and putting in someone that they really want at the convention, which could throw the whole thing. It depends on who they pick. Let's see here. Great job, your friend, a long time friend of your husband. Oh, you're a friend of my husband. Oh, I wonder who you are. Message me privately. Interesting. Okay. What else? What else do I, what else is going on? Any other thing? Anything else? You guys let me know. Okay. So I'm going to leave now, but I do have one other thing that did happen and I have to be careful saying this on Facebook because of censorship and YouTube, but, a story broke, Substack by Matt Taibbi and, Schellenberger. These are two guys that were left. Like, they were lefties, totally not conservatives, guys. Not conservatives, not Republican. Do not like Trump, okay? COVID woke them up. COVID woke them up. They started to see things differently after COVID. And they now have a huge write-up. You guys got to look into this. On our own intelligence agencies starting the entire Russian propaganda hoax thing. I can't go into detail. Anyways, they're saying that they have sources that can really blow the lid off of all of it. The whole story with the Russian hoax, if you guys remember, is that it was a foreign intelligence agencies from abroad said, hey, we've got a dossier. We've got this dossier, the Russian dossier. Remember that? We've got this dossier and it's got all this horrible stuff on Trump. Like, he's a bad dude. He's in cahoots with Putin. He's doing horrible things to the Obama's bedroom when they went to Russia or something like that. He paid people to do stuff. It's dirty and like really like what? Like, these wild stories put into this dossier. Anyway, so this dossier is compiled and then the Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton, pick up the dossier and they fund a lot of it. They fund it to get this more information on how horrible Trump is and how he's, you know, a Russian spy or something like that. That was what our media was telling us, you guys. And so this was just this crazy stuff. And it really impacted the 2016 election. If you guys remember, afterwards, Hillary's like, Russia stole it. You know, he's really Russian, or Russia spy or whatever. Then you had the Mueller report. Remember, the Mueller launched this report into finding out, like, is Trump this Russian asset? You know, all this stuff. And that was the headlines for, like, literally the first 3.5 years of the Trump presidency from 2016 to like almost to the election, right? Before COVID, they stopped that and they brought in COVID. I mean, how coincidental. So anyways, they were doing all this and then everybody was like, well, we need to find out how this whole thing started. So Durham, like, remember the independent prosecutor, Durham came into the picture, John Durham, and he's like, I'll look into it. And so he comes out with a report, very vague on like where it all began. Well, Taibbi and Schellenberger have recently said that it came from us. It came from us, if you can put that together. I can't say who, but it was instigated and started in our own country. It wasn't foreign intelligence agencies from abroad that brought this, but it was our own guys. So that makes it even worse. Like, wow. And so that's all alleged. It's all alleged, and we'll see if it unfolds. But this is what these two guys are saying. So we'll see if anything comes from that. Anyways, but all of this information, I guess, was compiled into a binder of some sort. And they're saying that binder is now lost. They don't know where it is. And then, oh, I don't want to get in trouble. But look, follow me on Twitter. I can kind of say like what I really think. But now that's missing. The information's missing. And the details of it are missing. And there's all these speculation of where it is and who might have it. So anyways, I don't know if you guys have been following that, but it's fascinating as well. All right, you guys, please do a parody on Owning Nothing. I should totally do that. That is great. Oh my gosh, Stephanie, I love that idea. Yes, just totally happy, but owning nothing and like holding back the tears. That's brilliant. I love it. My mind is already spinning. That's such a great idea. I love it. Yes. What else, you guys? United Nations and Global Elite. Possibly, but maybe a good guy has it, Paul. I'm not going to say who, but you don't know. Harvey Day, wouldn't it be awesome if politicians would be held to liability when they slander? Yes. Yes, they will. Yes. I know. I think everybody's at this point like, oh my gosh, can justice be served? Can the bad guys, you know, be exposed and put, you know, in their place? Like, can this happen, please? Don't give up the hope. Don't give up the hope. Keep the faith. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to give it up. I love this country. I love my kids. And I'm not throwing in the towel. We got to keep speaking the truth and believe. Just believe this, guys. If you can wake up one person, right? That's where I'm at. Like, just get one person to start to see it. Pray for that person. Like, literally be like, I'm going to pray for this person before I even, like, have any kind of conversation. I'm just going to start praying for them, that their eyes would be open, that they would start to see it, that their heart would be softened, that they would have a hunger and thirst for the truth. Like, begin to speak that over them and begin to pray for them. And then I think that God will give you the opportunity to speak into their life. I really do. And it starts with just one person. I think sometimes we think it's insurmountable because it's just so many people and there's so many people that are lost and it's so dark and DC is so corrupt, but just start with one. If everyone just took one person and prayed over them and began to speak life over them and that they would begin to see it, I think we could make a difference. I really do believe that. So, all right, you guys, praying never hurts. Amen, Randy. So that's it for me. I'm wishing you guys a wonderful weekend. This is the update. If you want to, I'm sure that the Fannie Willis hearing looks like it's going to be starting back up. I wanted to get that done before you guys could get in there and look at it if you want to continue watching it. But God bless you guys. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for my supporters. I said this last week, I need to be able to continue doing this. I want to continue doing this. I want to continue making parody and satire and doing commentary. But like I said, inflation is impacting my family and we have like this, I'm kind of like at this, like, do I continue doing this or do I go work for a PAC or do I go work for a campaign or do I stay at it? And I want to be able to do this up through the election, but I have to have support. So I need people to become patrons and support me monthly. You can start with just like $1 or $3 or whatever you can afford. I know it's tight, but I believe that we kind of got to work together to make a difference. And some people are called to make videos and speak publicly. And some people are like just called to support and be behind the scenes. And I was behind the scenes for years. I didn't want to be in front of anything, but I felt like I needed to. So that's it for me. I'll drop my Patreon support link in the comments. And that's it for me. Bye, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.